Please go to John, Gospel of John, chapter 13. Today's Sunday, March the 17th, 2024. And as you know, this month we've been looking at our wonderful Lord and Savior Jesus Christ as we get closer to celebrating the resurrection, Easter Sunday, Resurrection Sunday. And last week we looked very briefly at the Master Teacher. And we're going to continue with that, with some of what he taught at what we refer to as the Last Supper. In those final hours before he was arrested, he taught about service, love, the hope, believing, prayer, persecution, the coming of the Holy Spirit. It was quite a night. And as you know, there's so many great details in this book, Jesus Christ, Our Passover. But we're going to begin in John chapter 13. And it's so great that there's so much detail that God put in his word for us to see what happened that night. So kind of like we're just in another room watching and listening. It's so wonderful. In John chapter 13, verse 4, he riseth from supper and laid aside his garments and took a towel and girded himself. After that, he had poured water into a basin, began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel wherewith he was girded. The culture in Bible times, as you know, they wore sandals, the streets were dirt. And when you come into somebody's house, the lowest servant in the household, that was his job, one of his jobs, was to wash someone's feet when they came in. And not the most pleasant of jobs, to wash somebody's feet. But we understand the culture. That's what they did. Verse 6, then cometh he to Simon Peter, and Peter saith unto him, Lord, dost thou wash my feet? Jesus answered and said unto him, what I do thou knowest not now, but thou shalt know hereafter. Peter said, you shall never wash my feet. You know, Peter understood the culture. The lowest servant washes feet, not my master. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the Messiah, is going to wash my feet. And Jesus answered and said, if I wash thee not, thou hast no part with me. Simon Peter said, okay, Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my feet. Give me a full bath. Jesus saith unto him, he that is washed needeth not save to wash his feet, but is clean every whit. And ye are clean, but not all. For he knew who should betray him. Therefore said he, ye are not all clean. So after he had washed their feet and had taken his garments and was set down again, he said unto them, know ye what I have done to you? You call me Master and Lord, and ye say well, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you, what does it say? An example that you should do as I have done to you. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the servant's not greater than his Lord, neither he that is sent greater than he that sent him. If you know these things, happy are ye if you do them. Well, there's a great truth right there in that verse, right? One thing to know what the word says, another thing to do it. This is not the first time that he taught them about service. But that night he gave them an example that they'd be reminded of on a regular basis. Did he say this is a commandment? Wash people's feet. Did he say, do this, what I've just done to you, do this in memory of me? No, he didn't say that. He was teaching them to serve. And service is service, whatever it is. In God's eyes, service is service. One service is not more important than another service. Service is service, whether it's washing feet or what else. Keep your finger here, because this serving came up again in the Last Supper in Luke's Gospel, Luke 22. So back up just a little bit to Luke 22, and then we're going to get back to the Gospel of John. We're going to mostly stay this morning in the Gospel of John. But Luke 22, because this came up again. And apparently, after the washing of the feet. So Luke 22, verse 24. And there was also a strife among them, which of them should be accounted the greatest. They're human. And he said unto them, the kings of the Gentiles exercise lordship over them, and they that exercise authority upon them are called benefactors. But ye shall not be so. But he that is greatest among you, let him be as the younger, and he that is chief, as he that does what? Serve. For what's greater, he that sits at meat, or he that serves? You know, if you got somebody sitting, enjoying the meal, and you've got a servant bringing the food to him, you need something else to drink, here's, who's greater, the guy that's eating or the guy that's serving? Is not he that sitteth at meat? Yeah, he's greater. But I am among you as he that serves. Serves. And he certainly showed them that, didn't he? He washed their feet. So back in the Gospel of John, John chapter 13, where we left off, I'm going to pick it up in verse 18. He had just told them, if you know these things, happy are ye that do them, verse 17. Verse 18, I speak not of you all. I know whom I have chosen, but that the scripture may be fulfilled, he that eateth bread with me hath lifted up his heel against me. Now I tell you, before it come, that when it is come to pass, you may believe that I am he. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that receives whomever I send receives me, and he that receives me receives him that sent me. When Jesus had thus said, he was troubled in spirit, and testified and said, verily, verily, I say unto you, one of you shall betray me. Then the disciples looked one on another, doubting of whom he spoke. Now there was leaning on Jesus' bosom one of his disciples whom Jesus loved. Simon Peter, therefore, beckoned to him that he should ask who it is, who it should be of whom he spake. So Simon Peter's going, ask him who it is. Then he, lying on Jesus' breast, said unto him, Lord, who is it? Jesus answered, he it is to whom I shall give a sop when I have dipped it. And when he had dipped the sop, he gave it to Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon. And after the sop, Satan entered into him. Then said Jesus unto him, that thou doest, do quickly. Now no man at the table knew for what intent he spake this unto him. For some of them thought, because Judas had the bag, that Jesus had said unto him, buy those things that we have need of against the feast, or that he should give something to the poor. You know, that's just another a verse that shows this was not the Passover meal. He then, having received the sop, went immediately out, and it was night. Isn't it interesting how many times in those verses, sop, sop, sop. The sop was a, I think you know this, but the sop was a, they had a common dish, and you would tear some bread and then get into the common dish, get some, kind of like when you eat Mexican food and there's dip there or something. But they had a common dish, you'd take a piece of bread, get some food that was in there, meat, whatever, and you would eat. That was called the sop. We might call it a bite, a nibble. But if you went and got the sop and put it in somebody's mouth, in that culture, that showed your great love and esteem for that person. And it showed everybody else that saw it that you had great love and esteem. Does that blow your mind? Jesus Christ did that knowing full well it was Judas that was going to betray him. He dipped in and said, here you go. Wow, that's pretty deep, isn't it? The master teacher. He taught people with words and with his example. You know, he taught about prayer, right? We read that in the Gospels. People should pray. He prayed. He prayed a lot. He taught about love. He loved. He taught with words and he taught with example. Just a note on verse 18. That the scripture may be fulfilled. That phrase comes up a few times in the Bible. It is better translated with the result that the scripture was or is fulfilled. Doesn't mean Judas had no choice and he had to do that to fulfill a scripture. It's that the scripture, with the result that the scripture was or is fulfilled. And here, a scripture that was fulfilled was Psalm 41:9. Yea, mine own familiar friend, in whom I trusted, which did eat of my bread, hath lifted up his heel against me. So, now we're at verse 31. Therefore, when he, Judas, was gone out, Jesus said, now is the Son of Man glorified, and God is glorified in him. If God be glorified in him, God shall also glorify him in himself, and shall straightway glorify him. Little children, yet a little while, I am with you. You shall seek me. And as I said unto the Jews, whither I go, you cannot come. So now I say to you, a new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. By this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you have love one to another. Love one another. You know, we read in the church epistles that a number of places that we should love one another. By love, serve one another, right? It says we're supposed to be especially good to the believers. So as followers of the Lord Jesus Christ, we love and serve, right? Verse 36, Simon Peter. He comes up a lot in this, doesn't he? He ain't going to wash my feet. Hey, who is it that did that? Simon Peter said unto him, Lord, whither goest thou? Jesus answered him, whither I go, thou canst not follow me now, but thou shalt follow me afterwards. Peter said unto him, Lord, why can't I follow you now? I'll lay down my life for your sake. I'll die for you tonight, right here. Jesus answered him, wilt thou lay down thy life for my sake? Verily, verily, I say unto you, the cock shall not crow till thou hast denied me thrice. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. The hope of the return. Isn't that awesome? Where I go, you can't go now, but you are going to go. Verse 4. And whither I go, you know. You know where I'm going, and the way you know. Thomas said unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest. How can we know the way? We don't know where you're going. How can we know the way to get there? Jesus said unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes unto the Father but by me. If ye had known me, you would have known my Father also. And from henceforth you know him and have seen him. Philip saith unto him, Lord, look, show us the Father, and it sufficeth us. Just show us the Father. Jesus said unto him, have I been so long time with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? He that has seen me has seen the Father. How sayest thou then, show us the Father? Believest thou not that I am in the Father and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwells in me, he doeth the works. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father in me, or else believe me for the very work's sake. How was God in Christ? It says in 2 Corinthians, God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself. How was God in Christ? A great verse to look at is Acts 10:38, when Peter was preaching at Cornelius' house, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and power, who went about doing good, healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. Watch the context of this now, because it's just absolutely beautiful. Back to verse 11, and we're going to read a couple of verses, but keep in mind the context. Believe me, verse 11, that I am in the Father and the Father in me, or else believe me for the very work's sake. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. How in the world could those listening, those who would be followers of the Lord Jesus Christ, do the same works, the works that I do, you will do also, the same way he did them, by the operation of the power of God with the Holy Spirit in operation in manifestation? God was in Christ by way of the Spirit of God in him. And we have the Spirit of God in us. And the greater works, I think you know what that means, is leading someone to the new birth. It was not yet available while Jesus Christ was still here. It wasn't available right after he got resurrected. It wasn't available during the 40 days that he walked and taught after his resurrection. But once he was ascended, 8 days later, Pentecost, now available. So, again, look at the context. We're going to back up to verse 11 again because I want you to see this context. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father in me, or else believe me for the very work's sake. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. And whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. If you love me, keep my commandments. And I'll pray the Father, and he shall give you another Comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But you know him, for he dwells with you and shall be in you. I'm not going to leave you comfortless. I will come to you yet a little while, and the world sees me no more. But ye see me, because I live, and you shall live also. At that day you shall know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loves me. And he that loves me shall be loved of my Father. And I will love him, and will manifest myself to him. Judas said unto him, not Iscariot, the other Judas, Lord, how is it that thou wilt manifest thyself unto us, and not unto the world? Jesus answered and said unto him, if a man love me, he'll keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. He that loveth me not keepeth not my sayings, and the word which you hear is not mine, but the Father's which sent me. These things have I spoken unto you, being present with you. But the Comforter, which is what? The Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. Wow. You know, in Colossians, speaking of those who are born again, those that have the Spirit, it says it's Christ in you, the hope of glory, right? Jesus Christ said, the works that I do shall you do also. You have God's Holy Spirit in you. God dwells in you by way of his Spirit. It's God in Christ in you, the hope of glory. So he was telling them, Holy Spirit is coming. In Acts 1, when we read about the ascension, it's the very last thing he talked about before he ascended. It must be pretty important. Well, let's keep reading now in John's Gospel. We're in John 14, verse 27. Peace, peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world gives it, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. You have heard how I said unto you, I go away and come again unto you. If you loved me, you'd rejoice, because I said, I go unto the Father. For my Father is greater than I. And now I have told you, before it come to pass, that when it is come to pass, you might believe. Hereafter I will not talk much with you, for the prince of this world cometh and hath nothing in me, but that the world may know that I love the Father. And as the Father gave me commandment, even so I do. Arise, let us go hence. I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that bears not fruit, he taketh away, and every branch that bears fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now you are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except ye abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He that abides in me, and I in him, the same brings forth much fruit. For without me ye can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he's cast forth as a branch, and is withered, and men gather them, and cast them into the fire, and they're burned. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit. So shall you be my disciples. As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. If you keep my commandments, you shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you and that your joy might be full. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. You're my friends, if you do whatsoever I command you. Henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knows not what his Lord doeth, but I've called you friends, for all things that I have heard of my Father I have made known unto you. You've not chosen me, but I've chosen you and ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever you ask of the Father in my name, he may give it you. These things I command you, that you love one another. If the world hates you, you know it hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world, the world loved it, his own. But because you're not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. Remember the word that I said unto you, the servant's not greater than his Lord. If they've persecuted me, they're going to persecute you. If they've kept my sayings, they'll keep yours also. But all these things will they do unto you for my name's sake, because they know not him that sent me. And if I had not come and spoken unto them, they had not had sin, but now they have no cloak for their sin. He that hates me hates my Father also. If I had not done among them the works which none other man did, they had not had sin, but now have they both seen and hated both me and my Father. But this comes to pass, that the word might be fulfilled that is written in their law, with the result that the scripture is fulfilled. They have hated me without a cause. But when the Comforter comes, man, this just kept, the Comforter, the Holy Spirit kept coming up that night. But when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceeds from the Father, he shall testify of me. and ye shall also bear witness, because you have been with me from the beginning. These things have I spoken unto you, that ye should not be offended. They'll put you out of the synagogues. Yea, the time comes when whosoever kills you will think that he's doing God's service. And these things will they do unto you, because they have not known the Father nor me. But these things have I told you, that when the time shall come, you may remember that I told you of them. And these things I said not unto you at the beginning, because I was with you. But now I go my way. Where? To him that sent me. And none of you ask, whither goest thou? But because I have said these things unto you, sorrow has filled your heart. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient, it's absolutely necessary for you that I go away. For if I go not away, and we know where he's going, right? To the Father. If I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. And when he is come, when the Comforter is come, he will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Of sin, because they believe not on me. Of righteousness, because I go to my Father, and you see me no more. Of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged. I have yet many things to say unto you, but you cannot bear them now. Howbeit, when he, or it, the Spirit of truth is come, it will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine and shall show it unto you. All things that the Father hath are mine. Therefore said I unto you, he shall take of mine and shall show it unto you. A little while, and you shall not see me. And again, a little while, and you shall see me, because I go to the Father. Then said some of his disciples among themselves, what is this that he saith unto us, a little while, and you shall go and see me again a little while? What is he talking about? Because I go unto my Father. Verse 18. Then said he therefore, what is this that he saith? Verse 18. They said therefore, what is this that he saith? A little while, we cannot tell what he saith. We don't know. Now Jesus knew that they were desirous to ask him, and said unto them, do you inquire among yourselves of that I said, a little while, and you shall not see me, and again a little while, and you shall see me? Verily, verily, I say unto you, you shall weep and lament. And I'm sure they did. After his brutal beatings, torture, crucifixion, burial. But the world shall rejoice, and you shall be sorrowful, but your sorrow shall be turned into joy. A woman, when she's in travail, hath sorrow, because her hour is come. But as soon as she is delivered of the child, she remembers no more the anguish, for the joy that a man is born into the world. And ye now therefore have sorrow, but I will see you again, and your heart shall rejoice, and your joy no man takes from you. And in that day you shall ask me nothing. Verily, verily, I say unto you, whatsoever you shall ask the Father in my name, he will give it you. Hitherto you've asked nothing in my name. Ask, and you shall receive. Why? That your joy may be full. Isn't that awesome about prayer? Getting a prayer answered so that your joy is full. God wants us joyful, wants our prayers answered. And here he's teaching them about praying. To ask the Father in his name. These things have I spoken unto you in Proverbs, but the time comes when I shall no more speak unto you in Proverbs, but I shall show you plainly of the Father. At that day you shall ask in my name, and I say not unto you that I will pray the Father for you. Look at verse 27. For the Father himself loves you, because you have loved me and have believed that I came out from God. What a verse. God loves you not because you're perfect, not because you prayed 50 hours a day, not because you memorized 150 scriptures. The Father himself loves you because you have loved me and believed that I came from God. I came forth, verse 28, from the Father and am come into the world. Again, I leave the world and go to the Father. His disciples said unto him, Lo, now speakest thou plainly and speakest no proverb. We get it. Now are we sure that thou knowest all things and needest not that any man should ask thee. By this we believe that thou camest forth from God. Jesus answered them, Do ye now believe? Behold, the hour come, yea, is now, that you shall be scattered, every man to his own, and shall leave me alone. And yet, I'm not alone, because the Father is with me. These things I have spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. In the world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Peace. That's God's will for us, is to have peace. Even in the midst of craziness, God wants us to have peace. Remember what he said in 14:27. We started reading this. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world give it, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Let, that's got to be in my control. Let not your heart be troubled. Don't let your heart get agitated. Don't let it be afraid. It's all part of that great thing we say a lot. What am I thinking about? What a great night of teaching. Serve one another. Love one another. The hope. The works that I do, you shall do also. Believe. Pray. Don't be shocked by persecution. Don't be afraid. You can have peace. And one of the big topics, as we saw, was the coming of Holy Spirit. We're not going to read it, but what follows is chapter, here in John's Gospels, chapter 17, which is a prayer Jesus Christ prayed that night. How loving of God to let us see a personal prayer of Jesus Christ to God Almighty. I would encourage you to this week read chapter 17. Read this prayer, especially after what I shared about God in Christ and God in you and Christ in you. Watch how that comes up in the prayer. So, next week, we're going to look at the memorial that he instituted at the Last Supper, the bread and the wine. As you probably noticed, it's not in the Gospel of John. It's in the other three Gospels and in 1 Corinthians. But it's interesting, it's not in the Gospel of John. And that memorial, as you know, sometimes it's referred to as communion, Holy Communion, the Lord's Supper. Next week, we'll look at those records in the Scriptures, in the three Gospels and in Corinthians, maybe a couple other places. And then we'll share bread and wine together. What a master teacher, the Lord Jesus Christ. What a night of teaching it was. Been a few times where I've read that and had a silly thought. Gee, was every supper like that with him? My goodness. That's our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Father God, thank you for your wonderful love for each one of us. And Father, how we stand in awe at our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, who always did your will, who might have wanted to have more alone time before they arrested him than he did have, but yet, God, he loved and he served and he did what you had him to do. Thank you that we can read it in your word, and Father, that we can be true followers of the Lord Jesus Christ and love one another and serve one another and pray in his name expecting results. And Father, that we can absolutely utilize and operate the great gift of Holy Spirit that was made available. Thank you for all Jesus Christ accomplished for each one of us. And Father, I thank you for the privilege of reading these scriptures today with your people. I pray for everyone here in this room, those that couldn't make it, those on the phone hookup. And Father, if the Lord tarries, may we have a wonderful week of rejoicing in all that we have available through our Lord Jesus Christ. And it's in his name I pray. Amen.